Time to talk canoes and kayaks and outdoor adventuring and Canoecopia with Darren Bush, co-owner of Rutabaga. It's the paddle sports shop in Madison and hosts the world's largest paddle sport exposition called Canoecopia. It's coming up this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. So we're always happy to have Darren come by to talk with us about canoes and kayaks and so forth, and certainly look forward to hearing what he has to say about Canoecopia as well. You may have some questions, and if you do, we hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call. Darren, welcome back.
Thank you. Well, good to be here.
Canoecopia, boy.
Yeah.
Here already.
It seems like it's like dog years. I don't know. It comes faster every year.
It seems to come faster every year to me too. And for those who aren't familiar with it, maybe you could talk a little bit about it. What is it and what's its purpose? And
you know, it's an interesting thing. There's really nothing else like it out there. Mm-hmm. And I asked a friend of mine once who is a little more removed from it than I am, what is it about Canoecopia? He said, well, if a voyager from the 1850s came back, he'd immediately recognize Canoecopia as a rendezvous. Mm-hmm. He says, I mean, because there's commerce there, certainly, and you know, mm-hmm. there's buying and selling, but there's also just this whole idea of getting together with a bunch of people that think the same way you do and enjoy the same hobbies you do. And with 20,000 people, you get this critical mass where there's just mm-hmm. this incredible energy, and everybody's really happy to sort of, you know, thumb their nose at winter and acknowledge that spring is around the corner. And it's a really exciting time for all of us.
Yeah. And certainly if you want to compare canoes or kayaks or you want to learn about them, it's a great place to be.
Sure. We actually added more speaker rooms this year, and we actually moved over into the hotel next to the Alliant Energy Center to have more space for more speakers. We had more topics we wanted to cover and more people that wanted to come and speak. And we have a hard time saying no to people who are really, really passionate about what they do. So we just accommodated them. We also took more space at the swimming pool. The Clarion was gracious enough to let us use their swimming pool for a couple of days to do demos. And it can't get any bigger until they add on to the Alliant Energy Center Exposition Hall. It's going to have to stay like it is.
Going to have to stay about like it is. Well, it's Friday. Starts
about 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock on Friday, and then all day Saturday and all day Sunday.
Correct.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm sure we're going to have some questions about it, but what about canoes and kayaks? You know, here's a green kind of issue for you. You've got the majority of canoes and kayak products are now used petroleum in their making.
Sure.
What's new and green in paddle sports?
So, boy, this is a long conversation for another whole show. Basically, the way I look at it is this. It's not just the product. It's the life cycle. It's from the start to finish. So what we try and do is work with our manufacturers to develop product that is green through the whole life cycle. So it's not just, petroleum is used in making mm-hmm. of the boats, but the tank of gas you use to drive to the boundary waters has less petroleum in it has more petroleum in it than your boat probably. So it's a matter of how much energy do we use making the boat, how much waste actually, the materials actually goes into the boat, and how much goes into waste, how far is the boat transported from the manufacturer to the retailer. I mean, all those things come into play, and then how they're transported. Do they use biodiesel? Do they use regular gasoline? A lot of our vendors are switching to biodiesel and using biodiesel vehicles, including us. So it's not just the boat. It's the whole life cycle.
And you talk with your the people who manufacture these things about these issues.
We do. We actually like the whole idea of a sustainable community that works together to try and reduce the impact. We all enjoy paddling in beautiful places, and there's certainly no irony in that the places that sometimes are mined or drilled to make the boats we use, that would degrade the environment. But our way of looking at it is we try and do as little as we can and have as little impact as we can. And that's really a good business decision as well as a good you know, moral decision.
We have some callers online, so we'll go to the phones. Mark in Green Bay, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Mark. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hi. Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Sure.
I'd like to talk about kayaking and canoeing ethics for a minute. I live down in the southern end of Green Bay, and we've got colonial nesting birds down here. So one of the banes was always boat traffic too early in the year, jet skis. Canoeists and kayakers aren't immune from the problem. In fact, they're somewhat worse because they can get right up into the shallows, and it only takes one person walking through a colony of these birds, and they're gone. So how do you get the word out on something like this?
Well, we certainly would like to help. That's a problem of which I was unaware. And that's, again, we like to have that minimal impact. Now, yeah, you're right. And there's a tendency for people to point fingers mm-hmm. and to say, well, you know, the problem is a powerboat problem. Well, not necessarily. And that's, mm-hmm. we'd like to, you know, educate people as best we can. So, yeah, whatever we can do to get the word out, we're happy to do it. We could put it on our website. We work with the Door County Land Trust quite a bit. We could probably help work through them. But, yeah, it's just a matter of getting the word out and having everybody be on the same page.
Yeah. And you've certainly got lots of great information on your website.
Yeah, we try and make it an informational website where people can get the resources they need. So anything that you can send me on this, I would love to get it, and we'll make sure we get it up on the site.
Great. And you've got an email site?
Sure. It's okay. It's Darren B, D-A-R-R-E-N, letter B, at rutabaga.com.
All right. Thank you very much for calling,
Mark.
Appreciate it. And you can join in at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison. Reach us at 263-1890. Talking canoeing and kayaking and outdoor adventuring with Darren Bush, co-owner of Rutabaga, the paddle sport shop in Madison. And I was taking a look through your Gazette, your Canoecopia Gazette, which is has a lot of good information, and you're talking about an increasing interest in tying fishing to canoeing and kayaking. And I've never done.
It's interesting that phenomenon took off. It started in the coasts, especially in the flats where people were fishing for things like bonefish, and you know, to spend the money for a guide and get a boat and go out there is it gets pretty spendy. But
yeah.
you can buy the boat and then go do it by yourself. And so it's really big in the coast. It's starting to catch on in the interior, in the Midwest especially. A friend of mine's a kayak fisherman, Fletch Keys, and he went out last year and got a fishing kayak. We got him all set up, and he went out and caught a bass on his first cast.
Oh,
and I
man.
Said, you can't really tell people that, because then they'll think that you always do it. But you can get into places you can't get into in a powerboat in a very small little kayak. And manufacturers are starting to design them specifically for fishing.
Now, what would be the difference between a design for fishing and one for just paddling?
Well, you can fish with a regular kayak. There's no problem there. You can add things to make any kayak a fishing kayak. But a general specific kayak fishing is going to have more stability, a little bit shorter, a little bit more flotation, so you can go in shallower areas. It's also going to have things set up to make it easy to attach things like rod holders, fish finders, GPS. So they try and make it more like a Swiss Army knife that has things you can put on it to make it a good fishing boat.
Yeah, well, all the things that you might find on a sort of motorboat.
Oh, I have friends that have fishing kayaks that have fish finders and GPSs and three rod holders and a live well and the whole deal.
Even a live well?
Yeah, and they don't get 3 miles per gallon either. That's the other cool part about them.
Oh, my gosh. Well, tell us about some of the events or some of the speakers that you're going to have at Canoecopia this year.
There's a whole bunch of new ones, and mm-hmm. this is something that happens periodically. We had a whole crop of people approach us and say, we really want to talk about this specific subject. And what we're seeing is, you know, it used to be Boundary Waters, Boundary Waters, Boundary Waters. And, mm-hmm. and the Boundary Waters is a wonderful place, but it's also starting to get kind of crowded. So people from further out beyond the Boundary Waters are starting to talk about their areas that they love to go and paddle, where you can go and get a little bit more solitude. Boundary Waters is still a great place for beginners to go because it's relatively accessible and safe. But if you want to have a real wilderness experience, you need to go a little farther probably. So we're getting a lot more people from farther away, from more exotic places. We're getting people from overseas. Just a wider variety of paddling destinations.
Mm-hmm. And what's new? Are there new things coming out? You talked about the changes sort of in kayaks to make them more fisherman-oriented or fisherperson-oriented. What about the products themselves in terms of the materials that go into making them and so forth?
Yeah, there's a couple new materials that were prototypical for the past couple of years, but then they're now in production. And basically, people are looking for materials that are lighter and stronger. That's what everybody wants in a canoe and a kayak. They want something that's light and strong. And Kevlar has kind of been, you know, the sine qua non for a long time. That's the one that everybody wanted. There's materials now that are approaching the weights of some Kevlar boats that cost quite a bit less. There's one called TwinTech that's a resin infused cloth that's polypropylene rather than fiberglass.
Hmm.
And apparently you can whack on it with a sledgehammer and it won't break. It's pretty cool. Thermoforming is also coming into its own. We're seeing a lot more thermoformed fabric rather than just thermoformed sheet. So, you know, basically vacuum forming has been, they've been making Royal X canoes that way for years, but kayaks not so much. Now we're seeing more vacuum form boats. They're getting really good at making plastics that are very, very durable and very, very light. And so the alloys have changed in the past 4 to 5 years. 5, 6 years ago, they were brittle and they had problems. Now it's, I've taken a hammer and I can swing a hammer pretty good. And hit these things until they got hot from the energy going into the system, but they didn't break, which is kind of interesting.
Oh, man. And these are a pretty good price connected with these? Or?
You know what? Some of them are, some of them aren't. There's a company called Hurricane that's new to us. They're pretty much experts at thermoforming. The paddle sports is a small part of their company. So they were able to take people who were interested in paddling and kind of give them mold time. So the economy of scale is there. So their prices are really reasonable. But they have a 31-pound kayak. And, you know, it's hard to find a 31-pound kayak, and it's like $700.
Wow. That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. And they're really nice people. And that's the thing is you know, this is here and there. But when I work with new vendors, it's like, okay, first, are they nice people? Or are they good people? Yeah, okay, now we can talk about product. And these are really good people.
And will they be at Canucopia or some of their products?
The president of the company will be there. He said, I wouldn't miss it for the world. I mean, these people, they get locked in a factory. They never get to talk to people who use the product. So for them, it's kind of like, oh, I get to see the other side of the picture.
Yeah.
So a lot of presidents and CEOs of companies are there just because they get a chance to talk to people who use the product. And for them, it's like, it's exciting for them. They love it.
Darren Bush is our guest today, co-owner of Rutabaga, the paddle sport shop in Madison. It's hosting the world's largest paddle sport exposition. It's called Canucopia at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. Coming up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, talking with him about Canucopia and about canoes, kayaks, and outdoor adventuring. And certainly you're welcome to join in with your own questions and comments as we move along here today. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in Madison, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking kayaking, canoeing, and other outdoor adventuring today, and Canucopia as well, with Darren Bush, co-owner of Rutabaga of Madison. Canucopia this weekend, March 9th, 10th, and 11th at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. Pleased to have him along. And certainly, if you have some questions, feel free to join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison at 263-1890. And Gordon from Chicago has been online for quite a while, so let's go right to the phones. Gordon, hi. Thank you very much for calling.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great. Good.
Two things. One, I'm going to be at Canucopia on Sunday. This will be my third year of volunteering with the Wisconsin River Alliance. They've got the booth there. And
well, thank you.
Great organization, and I spend 2 or 3 hours there getting people to maybe join, et cetera, et cetera. But regarding canoeing and fishing, the last 4 years I've fished out of a canoe made in Kadot by the Cranberry Creek Company. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're familiar with these guys at all.
Oh, sure. Yep, good folks.
And, yeah, and that canoe, you know, I've only done minimal kayaking, and for me the perspective on the water is a little bit too low. I like being a little bit higher. And the Cranberry Creek canoe is, I stand in that thing and cast, and I fish in rivers almost 90% of the time, and I can stand in moving water and cast all day, and it's incredibly stable.
Yeah, those guys are about as wide as they are long.
Yeah.
it's a coracle. That's the kind of customer that company is looking for, is somebody who doesn't really care about how it moves through the water. They care about, is it going to tip me over when I stand up?
Right.
Yeah, there's lots of companies that make, we don't care those guys. They sell pretty much direct and good folks. We do have some boats. There's a company called Esquif, which is a new vendor for us. They're out of Quebec. They make a 12-foot square stern that weighs about 45 pounds. And really, really sweet little boat. And you can put a trolling motor on the back of that thing and it'll scoop, but you can stand up in it and fly cast. People need to understand that not everybody wants a boat that goes fast. They want a boat that does what they want it to do.
Yeah. Thanks, Gordon.
Yeah, thank
okay,
you.
You're welcome.
Yep. See you this weekend. Bill in Moline, Illinois, it is your turn next. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Well, I just want to make a comment that I've been fishing out of kayak, actually tandem kayaks for many years, where we use a rudder on the back and a trolling motor. With a trolling motor with a variable speed prop, you can control your speed just slow enough, or I should say just fast enough, to give you steerage. And that allows you to slip in and out from the shoreline and any points that you want to fish with a lot of control and still leave both hands with foot rudder control. You still have both hands free to fish.
Yeah, what do you fish for?
Muskie and smallmouth.
Muskie and smallmouth, yeah. So you can get in places that other people can't get into?
Well, I suppose other people can get into them, but yeah, you can get into shallower water, and you can also use a trolling motor on small streams and rivers to clear dead water rather than spend your energy really paddling. Also, if you have a powerful enough motor and you get hung up, you can turn around, get back stream, and get your lure back.
Sure.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit. Did you ever get pulled around the lake by a muskie?
My brother has been pulled upstream by a pretty good-sized muskie up in Ontario.
Oh, all right.
It's the Nantucket sleigh ride in the Midwest.
Adolescent muskies are acrobatic, and we've had more than a few jump right over the kayak.
That's great fun. Bill, thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, appreciate the call very much. All right. Getting pulled around in a boat by a muskie, a canoe, that's fun.
I actually have a video of a guy being pulled around by a shark. He hooked into about a 6-foot shark. And it was an interesting ride.
Well, yeah, I don't know, shark. If I was worried about the line breaking, I might have been tempted to break it off.
Yeah.
Marilyn in Washburn, hi to you.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a question about the lightweight kayaks. Could you say some more about those more affordable ones? For example, what kind of water? I live on Lake Superior. And I, you know, when we go from one island to the other, maybe 2 to 5 miles, would it be appropriate for that?
For a boat that small, probably not. And the reason is you'll run into seaworthiness problems with a boat that small. Those are generally designed for smaller bodies of water.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's what I wondered.
Yeah, I mean, there are lightweight boats that are appropriate for the apostles. Are you talking about the apostles there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, you can get boats that are in the low 40s that will handle the Apostle Islands. But, whether or not it's appropriate depends totally on the conditions, your skills and all that stuff. So I always hesitate to say, yeah, this is going to work because somebody will inevitably prove me wrong.
What are some of the companies that might make boats that kayaks that might work for that situation?
Oh, there's lots. I mean, Current Designs, P&H,
right. I presently have a Current Design Breeze.
A Breeze, sure.
Purchased from you, and I love it. But it's sort of a little, it's oxy, you know?
That's not an adjective I've heard before, but I understand what you're saying. can I use that?
Of course.
It's oxy.
Okay. Oxy. Yeah, we call it a little tub, you know?
Yeah. Right.
It's fine, and it's extremely stable.
Sure.
But I would really like something a little lighter so I can tote it about a little easier.
Yeah, you might look at the Current Designs Kestrel. That's a new boat for them a couple of years ago. There's a 12-footer and a 14-footer. And the 14-footer actually is, I think, taking a lot of the sails away from the Breeze because it's quite a bit lighter.
Ah. Do you know how much it weighs?
I only stock like 350 models, so.
Oh, I know it must be. My
guess is mid 40s.
Oh, okay.
And if it's more than that, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Well, next time in Madison, I'll have to come in and look around.
Well, ask for me.
I will.
That'd be great.
And thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. Appreciate it. And you can join in at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Ed in Menominee, you're next. Hi, Ed. Ed, are you there? I know Ed's there.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you, folks?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. Just a couple of quick questions. I'm new to kayaking, and I'm looking for a two-seater type kayak that I could go camping in by myself or mostly take the dog and I fishing. And I was wondering what the very best is and what would be the economy model of that.
Yeah. Well, the very best kayak is kind of like the very best spouse. It just totally depends on your tastes.
Well, I haven't got one of those, so I don't know either.
In that case, I'll tell you. Well, there's a couple ways you can go. A recreational type tandem kayak, usually 14 to 15 feet long, something like that, usually has a large open cockpit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really good for one or two people or a person and a dog. The boat I'm thinking of, there's a new boat that just came out called the Ultimate 14 from a company called Native Kayaks. It's a brand new company. They took a pirogue, you know, a Louisiana pirogue, and turned it into a kayak. It's got removable seats, so you can have a lot of flexibility in your seating position. So you can pull the front seat out. It's got a big flat spot on the front for the dog to lay down.
Who makes that?
It's called Native Kayak.
Oh, Native Kayak.
It's a brand new company. We just started getting them. And they have them in plastic, in polyethylene, for under $1,000. Mm-hmm. And then they have the fiberglass ones that are considerably more, but super light. So there's your super best and economy model.
You mean the economy model is just the same thing, but just in a different material?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Then the other thing is kind of off the wall.
Cool. I like those.
has anybody ever tried to make these kayaks double hull and put an onboard little air compressor to go up and down like a submarine? Or has anybody put outriggers and jet motors on these things?
Well, to your first question, I'm sure someone has tried it. Unfortunately, they're no longer with us, so their ideas went to the grave. I don't know on that. On as far as having a double hull with a motor or a jet, actually, there's a company that did it in the 50s. They had a little impeller motor that went in the bottom of a canoe.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm considering, because I'm on a river. And when you get in the channel, the current's pretty swift. And
sure.
As I get older, it'd be nice to have something to help me up the stream, you know. And I thought about, you know, like glassing into the hull somehow, a small jet pump.
Well, it's been done. What I would recommend is you consider using a 35-pound or 40-pound thrust trolling motor.
Mm-hmm.
And find a way to rig that onto your boat. That'll push pretty much any boat against any current.
Yeah.
Really?
Especially a canoe or a kayak. I mean, a small kayak rigged up with a trolling motor, mm-hmm. you can paddle against current pretty easily with that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time. It's a very interesting show.
All right. Thanks, Ed, for calling. Yeah, I'd really go that way.
Yeah, I would too. The small square stern canoes, like a 12-foot square stern with a 25 or 35-pound thrust trolling motor on the back, those things will go as fast as you need to go.
Yeah.
They really move along.
Mark in Colfax, it's your turn. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I don't know what these things are called. I'm thinking of one for my son who lives by a river. They're like two little pontoons. You blow up, you can backpack them. One person sits on it and got two little oars.
Hmm. Sure. Okay, I know what you're talking about. I can't.
Do you know, I mean, do they work good for fishing or...
It depends what you're trying to do. If you're trying to put miles on, they don't work very well. If you're trying to go up to a mountain lake and get on the water and go 50 feet and drown some worms and then go back, they work great.
Uh-huh.
Hobie actually makes one that has hard pontoons that bass fishermen tend to use down, especially down south in some of the places where it's hard to get in a big boat. But yeah, they do exist, and I'm not familiar with the name of them, but I know what you're talking about.
Mm. So you don't know if they would, work on the Chippewa River or something like that? It's a section of river where people float in tubes and stuff.
Yeah, if you're not trying to move the boat through the water, the hydrodynamics of those boats is pretty poor. They're basically designed to be a stable platform from which to fish.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. And Richard in Merrill, on to you. Hi, Richard.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good.
This is a very interesting subject. I built a couple of kayaks when I first moved to central Wisconsin. And the first one I built was a CLC Boats kayak.
Oh, sure.
They have a website, which is really good. And it has lots of links to go all over the place on paddling.
That's a great company. The president's actually a good friend of mine.
Is that right?
Yeah, John Harris.
John Harris?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
We're fellow trombonists, which is kind of a weird thing. There's not many people who paddle and play the trombone. So
is that right?
He's a fantastic trombone player. That guy, he rocks.
I wonder if he plays it on his boat.
He actually brings it to Cunicopia.
No way.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Another, I found boat plans for electric-powered kayak using a trolling motor. And I'm thinking it's Glen Elle Marine.
That sounds right. I think you're right.
I haven't built that, but
yeah, look in Wooden Boat Magazine. That's where you find things like that.
Right.
There was actually plans in the back for a little, like a steam launch you could build, twisted out of tortured plywood that had electric trolling motor in it that was kind of hidden and looked kind of like a little steam.
Right. They kind of modify it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Those
are
cool little boats.
The other day I came across a really good website called Ocean One, I believe. Now let me see if I can find it on my
Ocean One.
Yeah,
I should look it up myself here.
I know Ocean Seven, but I don't know Ocean One.
But it's spelled one out.
Ocean N-O-O-N-E.
Here we go. Oh, it's called One Ocean, I guess.
Okay, and it's what's on the site.
Yeah, and it's stripped. They have designs that use you build by the strip method, cedar strips or something like that.
Sure. Yeah, there's one guy. There's lots of people who do it, but there's one guy who's kind of the kayak strip guru. His name's Nick Shade, and he does his company's called Guillemot Kayaks, and he does both designs, and I think he does build boats for people, and they're works of art. I mean, people build them and then they're afraid to paddle them, which is silly because they're
right.
They're very, very strong.
Yeah.
It's a really good way to build a boat.
Right. And you fiberglass it with epoxy inside and out.
Sure.
It's a very, very strong
mm-hmm. Yeah,
boat.
Nick has beautiful boats.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Richard. Appreciate the call very much. Darren Bush, our guest of Rutabaga, talking canoeing, kayaking, and Canoecopia this weekend in Madison at the Alliant Energy Center.
Careful there.
Yeah. Good grief. The name, it's been the Alliant Energy Center for quite a while now, but I still want to blurt out the other name. Yeah. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890. Had some women call in the program. What about, there's some kind of neat stuff out there in the way of gear for women.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The industry ignored women for most of its existence. And about 10 or 15 years ago, I think some people figured out that women make up about half the population and spend about 80% of the money. And that they really want to have gear that works for them, not something that's like, well, here's a small T-shirt that's for men. Anybody who spends any time around women knows that their needs are very different. So the industry is starting to look at things like PFDs, personal flotation devices, and actually designing them to fit female anatomy, which is, you know, a shocker. Mm-hmm. They're wonderful. They're very comfortable. And my wife has said, you know, I put up with these boardy, horrible PFDs that fit tubes for years, and now something fits me. And then, you know, people are getting more light boats, lighter gear, just all the stuff that makes it easier for women to get out. And a lot of women tend to be shorter than men, and they still drive, you know, CRVs or Elements or higher cars. And to get a boat on top of a car like that, if you've got less upper body strength, it's difficult. So there's lots of product out there now to allow women to get boats up on their car easier, and things like that people are paying attention.
Makes good sense, that's for sure. And Bill in Monroe, I think, is next. Let's go to Bill. Bill, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. Say, I want to just say thanks. My daughter gave me a Father's Day present of kayak lessons last summer, and I think I'm hooked. I haven't purchased a kayak yet, but I'm sure going to be at Canoecopia.
Oh, good.
And then I want to put in a plug for some of your presentations on Friday and Saturday. John Bauman, who is from Monroe mm-hmm. and lives in Alaska, is going to be giving a presentation. But I want to encourage everybody to go to the 6:30 Friday session, because there's quite a contingency from Monroe coming up on Saturday, and I want to make sure I get a seat.
Yeah, John's great. No, he's absolutely hilarious, and he's got a wealth of knowledge. So
he's got quite a lot of experience behind him, a lot of adventures. So he's a very interesting fellow.
Sure.
That's why that's one of the fun things about the many of the speakers that you have. You've got speakers like John who have had, sometimes very hair-raising experiences, but bring a lot of knowledge and a lot of kind of fun and interesting experiences that they always share and are always a lot of fun to listen to.
Yeah, it's interesting. The industry, in general, outdoor industries tend to focus on the extreme sports, mm-hmm. X Games, all the adrenaline things. These are not things that people our age do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them do, but for the most part, kids are done with skateboarding and things like that by the time they break a few wrists and knees and fibulas and all that stuff. So this is a lifetime sport that anybody can do. And, a good friend of mine who's actually been a guest on the show, Dick Person, passed mm-hmm. away this year at late 70s, but has lived more in his life than most people live in three.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are really willing to share their experiences. They really want to share their experiences. It's not about, look how cool I am. It's like, anybody can do this. I did it.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Bill, thank you again.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Tim in Milton, your turn. Hi, Tim.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I had a quick question about a Hobie Cat. I think we're thinking about getting into some kayaks, but this one had like a bicycle pedal and fins on the bottom where you just pedal and it swims for...
The Mirage Drive.
Yeah. Just kind of give me an overview on how that works and if it's, a decent boat or whatever.
Yeah, it's really cool. So there's this rocket scientist out in California who invented this Mirage Drive, and basically it's a back and forth motion rather than a pedal motion. It's kind of like those little fire trucks you have when you're a kid where you mm-hmm. push back and forth to make the wheels turn.
Yeah.
And they used the flippers of a penguin to mimic how the Mirage Drive works. So it's not a propeller, it's a flipper that goes back and forth, and the leading edge is stiff and the trailing edge isn't, so it makes this kind of back and forth. So if you watch a penguin swim, that's how the Mirage Drive works. It's a really cool piece of engineering, and we had some tug-of-wars with them, which was kind of fun, because some of my more experienced staff said, oh, these things are dumb, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, well, let's go see how dumb they are. So we tied one to a very strong kayaker, and then I put one of my smaller paddlers in it and said, okay, go, and they pulled them backwards. So they're very efficient. They're very cool. They're not the best for super shallow water. They do have problems. I mean, you can use them on the Wisconsin River, but when you get to a sandbar, you got to kind of grab the unit and yank it up. But you can take it out and use the boat anyway without it. But it's a remarkable piece of machinery. It's really cool.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Sure.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. John in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, John.
Yeah, I have just a real simple question. They moved daylight savings time up to Rutabaga daytime. I'm wondering if that's because of you. Should we rename it Rutabaga daytime?
Please find who did that and kill them. I don't get much sleep that weekend as it is, and now it's going to be even worse. So one of the things I've been doing in recent years is inviting half of Canada to my house for pancake breakfast on Sunday morning. Since most of them are here anyway, it made sense. And 7 o'clock comes early. Now it's going to be even worse. But thanks for pointing that out. I was just starting to forget about it. You're making me weep here, Mike.
Oh, well, I tell you what, it's always laughing. You always do have. You have people staying overnight at your home and having for breakfast. And
yeah, it's not really. I mean, it certainly is a business, and it certainly is that. But it's pretty integrated into my life, and that's my choice. Some people like. Firewalls. Mm-hmm. I don't have any firewalls. I have tissue paper, and I like it that way. My life is really rich because of the people I get to interact with in this industry, and my best friends are because mm-hmm. of this. People who stay at my house, and our kids, and now their kids are friends, and it's just one of the things that makes this such a really great industry to be in.
Well, I'll tell you what, Canucopia is this weekend, March 9th through the 11th, starts at, what is it, 4?
4 to 9 Friday.
Yeah.
And then 9 to 6 Saturday and 10 to 5 Sunday.
10 to 5 on Sunday. Lots to see and do there. It's at the Lion Energy Center in Madison. And anything you want to know about canoes and kayaks, I think you're going to probably learn there from Darren and all of the great people. And what, 20,000 people you're expecting probably?
Yeah, usually around there. Sometimes a little bit more than that, but it'll be good.
Thanks, Darren.
Thank you a lot.
Darren Bush, co-owner of Rutabaga, the paddle sport shop in Madison, hosting the world's largest paddle sport exposition. And Rutabaga, go online to rutabaga.com and you'll find more out about it. And thank you all for listening. Tomorrow we'll take a look at the wonderful world of Wisconsin wildlife with Scott Craven, UW Extension Wildlife Ecologist. Stay with us here on the Ideas Net.